Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
On 610 with Pendergast to run the show.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show. And T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest. And the latest is today. You missed it. 3 o'clock. We did our weigh-in. And our first weigh-in, and I weighed in at 310.8. Clint weighed in at 261.2. Tyler weighed in at a buck 90. I think all of us were a little bit heavier than we thought.
Yeah, I think it's safe.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, for me it is. I want to speak for you guys.
I had no idea, but I mean, that was...
I too had no idea.
But yeah. A little bit more. But no, we're all going to jump on this thing, and we'll weigh in next Tuesday again. It will be every Monday at 3 o'clock on The Drive, but next Tuesday because of Memorial Day weekend, so we won't be here. And Clint said he believes he's got 10 pounds in him.
I got 10 pounds in 8 days.
What do you think's the real for me? Because I want to get out of the threes. I want to have a two.
I think that's easy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the first you change your diet today. I think the first 10 pounds falls off in 5-6 days.
Yeah.
I think you're below three by the weekend. Now, what you do between weekend Tuesday, we'll see.
Memorial Day.
That's right.
And Monday can get you. Get me on that trigger.
Yeah. That for me. And I know you have a similar problem as well. The simple water retention. The way that I retain water, man, and most people do that. When you don't eat healthy and you drink, you know, you usually retain too much water. It'll fall off you fast.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm hoping to be two something. Texting and coming in. Damn, y'all are fat asses. Thanks for your support again. We appreciate you and
appreciate that.
Everything that you're doing in your life. And I hope you're as fit as can be.
I mean, just from that remark, I'll challenge anything athletic you'd like right now. 262. Anything you'd like.
Just for that remark, I'll challenge you anything athletic.
Anything athletic you want.
Anything you want. Tyler, stop.
Tyler's doing these double birds.
Oh, what? Yeah, what? He's got the poles out.
Right I don't now. Appreciate it.
Come here, man. No, man, it'll be a good time. But no, it's good. Coming in next Tuesday, we'll do our weigh-in. All right, the Astros, they're going to go to play in, which will be the first of two different ballparks that they're going to play in that are minor league ballparks. They're going to play at George Steinbrenner Stadium, which the Tampa Bay Rays are using in Tampa as their home stadium. As obviously, if you remember during that hurricane, their roof was blown the hell off. And so they're going to be playing there right now. And I think they can hold up about $9,000 in that piece.
All right.
So we'll see about 9-10. So normal game against the Rays who don't really feel.
I mean, look, I think there's a lot of teams, to be honest with you, on a nightly basis could probably remove about half their seats and their crowd would look a little better.
Yeah, maybe. You know what I mean? Yeah. They said they're really having a blast in Sacramento with the A's. Yeah, finally got to that city.
Isn't the Rams stadium in L.A., isn't it smaller? Isn't it significantly smaller than the normal stadium?
SoFi?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But or was that the one they were playing in that was smaller?
Were playing in the Coliseum before they got that.
No, that was not it. I think it's smaller than normal.
It might be, but a lot of stadiums are doing that now. They're putting more boxes in. You know, how about that?
Yeah,
and taking out.
SoFi is 70,000.
No, it's bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
Why did I think there was a time when they were playing in a small venue? Was it the Chargers?
Yo, the Chargers, when they were playing in that soccer stadium.
From when they were transitioning from San Diego to L.A.?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they wouldn't allow them to play on the Coliseum, too. They were playing in that soccer stadium, yeah. But they'll play in Tampa tonight, and here is the starting lineup. And it's Jeremy Pena, Paredes, and Altuve. That's right, that is flipped now. Paredes is in the two spot. Altuve's in the three spot. Tyler, with crack information, the last time he's hit third is in 2020 during the COVID season. That's the last time Altuve's hit, I'm guessing, outside of the one or two hole since 2020. Christian Walker, who is looking to get back on track, and hell, the Astros have highlighted his ass in this thing.
Put him on the graphic, baby.
Put him on the graphic and highlighted him. Yiner Diaz is the DH hitting behind him. You ain't lying, boy. I could see Yiner getting pushed up into that four spot soon if this thing continues. Victor Caratini is catching tonight behind the dish. Jake Myers in center field. Cam Smith is back in the lineup. Chaz McCormick will round it off.
There.
Hitting ninth.
DeZinzo getting a rest day.
Yeah, DeZinzo getting a rest day. Yeah,
resting these nuts, Tyler.
There he is. Yep.
These nuts.
Long weekend in Arlington. Got to rest him.
When you're dealing with all that, you got to rest him.
Zach looks like a guy that'd tear up Dallas.
Yeah. Got him.
Text line rolling through. Altuve won the MVP in the three holes. So your thoughts on that? Him hitting in the three spot right now. It feels like he can hit anywhere, but your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I like it a lot, man. I understand why he was the leadoff. I get it. The untouchable leadoff has always been kind of silly to me. That when we'd have conversations about where Altuve should hit, I have no problem with him sliding down the lineup. I think you got. I love Jeremy Pena. It's easy to love right now, swinging the bat as well as he has. Coming off a rest day, I believe, or did he rest yesterday? Or did he rest Saturday? He got a rest day at some point in the series, but. His speed at the top of the lineup, Paredes is, Joe Espada keeps talking about the quality at bats, the number of pitches that he's seeing. He's swinging it really well. Those guys moving up and Altuve moving more into, the third or fourth hole in the lineup, I would have zero problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah, the thing is...
The aggressive, come out of your shoes, I mean, that's a tough watch for me in the top of the lineup. So it makes more sense down there when with runners on.
Yeah, the interesting thing with Pena got the day off yesterday, so Brady's hitting the leadoff spot yesterday. But the thing that's interesting is, like, now this seems like more of a move. Like, yesterday seems like, all right, we want to get Pena a day off, and we're going to swing some things around.
Yeah.
Today seems like this may be something that they go to. Like, this may, while Alvarez is out, this may be something they go to, which is interesting because Paredes has been swinging the bat pretty well in that three spot. You wonder what's the reason for a change there. And it, he's got multiple home runs. Obviously, it worked out great yesterday as he came up and got the big three run shot yesterday. But it is interesting how often they wake up and they're, man, let's have some fun here, man. Let's shake this thing up a bit here. Let's leave, as someone texted earlier, let's keep Christian Walker right there at fourth spot.
Exactly right.
but let's swing Altuve up and down this piece, man. Yeah. Let's have some fun with it.
We're going to make this thing dance all around that four hole.
That's right, but don't you touch
Christian Walker now.
Colton Gordon's getting a start tonight. This is his second start. He was able to get himself out of dicey situations in his first start against the Royals last week, but we'll see what he's able to do against Tampa, and hopefully he gets going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because they're going to need him in the lineup. So they get going here a little bit after we get done. So big East Coast time zone, a little earlier start. So see if they can get this thing going as they sit 24-22, two games above 500 right now.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, yesterday a lot happened in the sports world, including Scottie Scheffler. The world's number one continues as he wins the PGA Championship, and this is his first PGA Championship, and he wins that bad boy going away by five strokes. It was funny. They started off a little funky. He was the one that was able to hold it together from round one where they had a weird inning. Him, Rory, they double bogeyed at 16, but he held through. And then by Saturday, Clint, it seemed like he took control of the tournament and into Sunday. And we're right now in the middle of witnessing a really amazing run. He's got 15 wins on the PGA Tour right now. Now three majors and the two that he held. We just saw Rory get the career Grand Slam. He's got two to go, and it's the next two majors, the U.S. Open and the British Open. So Scottie Scheffler is showing why he is in maybe the most dominant run we've seen since Tiger.
Yeah, he's dominant, man. He's fun to watch. I think my as you know, we were talking a little earlier just about Scottie Scheffler and who he is and how does he move you and does he draw you and all that. There's something about Scottie for me. Now I did not plug into this tournament. I had hands full, but the part of Scottie that always draws me to the TV is what you mentioned. When he's in contention but not in the lead, and you know he's hunting people down, he's so consistent, he's so precise, he just very rarely makes major mistakes, and damn sure doesn't compound them back to back. That when he's hunting down lesser golfers, it's fun to watch them crumble and him just stay steady. That's that to me. That's the appeal of Scottie Scheffler. It's not the Tiger Woods greatness or the You talk about Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. The personalities are totally different. Like it's the hunt. It's the guy that's just so damn consistent that if you make any mistakes at all, you can't compete with him.
Yeah, he's not the. I think for him to draw interest, he is going to really need a foil, like somebody, and hopefully Rory. Like they both won the first two majors. If we can get a situation where Rory gets rolling at the U.S. Open, the next major, and because he's not somebody that draws you alone, right? Yeah. Like, he feels, I said it earlier under my breath, but he feels very Pete Sampras-like. And Pete Sampras didn't get you rolling by himself, but if you throw Andre Agassi's crazy ass across the way from him, then you're like, oh, yeah. I'm into it. Like, he's just, like, as you said, his personality is very Jokic, Tim Duncan, like, hey, man, I'm going to be great.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be consistent. I'm not going to wow you. I'm not going to do it, but I'm just going to come out there and bam, and I'm always there, and I'm always there, and I'm always there, and I win tournaments.
Well, his personality on top of it, too, is exactly what you just said. He self-admittedly is boring. You know what I mean? It's just like he doesn't make a big deal about what he does. And so that part of it is just kind of like, I mean, you appreciate good golf. You can turn it on any time that Scottie's out there, and you're going to see it. And I mean, because he's going to be in the mix. I think as he gets closer, as you said, the career Grand Slam, I think the appeal turns up a little though.
Yeah, he's not like Wyndham Clark, who's firing his driver damn near into the crowd. You know, Wyndham had to apologize today for that.
Did he?
Yeah, he apologized for letting his frustrations get the best of him. And dangerously flinging his driver after a poor tee shot during the final round of the PGA Championship. Maybe if Scottie tossed him a good one.
Well, I think Scottie really let the arrest last year die on the vine. I mean, that could have got really drawn out and really. I mean, Scottie could have shown up in
an orange jumpsuit,
orange or stripes or whatever you want to. Man, he should have done it this year at the because it wasn't this the 1 year anniversary.
Yeah. If he did like you know, Tiger's got his Sunday red and he just had his Sunday orange.
Showed up like. In all orange, like all he had to do was borrow it from old buddy. What's Ricky Fowler? Ricky Fowler wears that Puma stuff all the time. Oklahoma State all orange.
I wanted a one piece, like a zip up.
Romper?
Yeah, like a zip up.
See, if he'd have done something like that.
Inmate Scheffler on the back. Yeah, that man, they probably would have. Yeah, and Nike.
That would have been that kind of thing would really now it'd be outside the bounds of golf, but it would really push.
Let his ass on that course.
It would really push, the gotta see TV.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, in the NFL, his resume says he's one of the best coaches, but I do not think people believe that is the case. But the reigning Super Bowl head coach, Nick Sirianni, has agreed to a multi-year extension to remain as the Philadelphia Eagles head coach. In your mind, just off the top of your head, and you could participate in this as well, YouTube and Twitch, those of you on the text line, 713-572-4610. How many coaches do you get to before you get to Nick Sirianni when you start thinking of the best coaches in the league? Ooh, I mean, in the top of your mind, like how many do you – his resume is I've been a coach for like 4 years. I've gone to the playoffs every year, and I've gone to the Super Bowl twice and won one.
It's a strong resume.
But how many names do you
– Andy Reid.
I feel like it's like seven or eight at least.
Mike Tomlin.
Yes, although I wonder if he's actually a better coach than Mike Tomlin right now. But I think many people will grab Tomlin.
Reed, Tomlin, Harbaugh.
Both Harbaughs, yeah.
D'Amico.
Yeah, I bet you many people think D'Amico's far ahead of him.
Sean Payton.
I was going to say Denver, Sean Payton.
Pete Carroll,
yep.
Oh, yeah,
he's back. A bunch of these old heads are back in the fold, man.
Yeah.
My man in San Francisco.
Oh yeah, Kyle Shanahan. Do you think I've been probably Green Bay? Sean McVay. We hadn't gotten
Sean
to him.
Sean McVay. Yes,
it's thought highly thought of.
I bet you can damn near get to 10.
The cat in Green Bay, LaFleur. Yeah. I wonder if people think.
I think that's seven. You may hit the nail on the head, Ron.
I think we got past seven. I'll be honest with you. I think he said Pete Carroll. He said D'Amico. I think we got to double digits there. To be honest with you, is that right?
No.
The resume says hell.
Is that like it's not like, I think he also needs to get some credit. And I like it. Listen, he's not my cup of tea. But there is some, feels like volatile action going on around that team often, and they somehow pull it out.
Well, I said this after he did it, I just commend the coach that I don't agree with some of the whys that I heard, but I commend the coach that says he doesn't need to see 3 years of bad football or poor leadership or whatever. He just, hey, man, this season wasn't it. We got a clean house. And he gets the OC and the defensive coordinator up out of there and brings in the guys that he wants, and it works, right? I mean, the sense of urgency behind making change, man, I greatly appreciate that.
Yeah,
and he did it to a damn tee now.
Text in. Don't forget about Kevin O'Connell. Dan Campbell.
Yeah, there's pretty good ones.
But they're not even coming close to his resume. All right, coming up as we continue, wait till you hear the projection that Bleacher Report has for the AFC South. Spoiler alert, they don't have your Texans winning the division. We'll discuss that coming up.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we see what kind of mood Tyler Milner's in. He's looking to get that ass backed up on him. Shout out to...
It's how to do a Monday.
Yeah, there he is. Why not? Come on out with it. Get that ass. Why not? Do it. Yeah. Do that. All right, as we continue, Bleacher Report. Fellas, just tell me, like, is this, when you look at this, do you completely roll your eyes at this, or do you listen to this as this is something that isn't that far-fetched? All right, you can give us your thoughts. Text in 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you know the deal. Jump in as well. Bleacher Report has done their projections for all the teams in the league. They did the AFC South. They said in the AFC South, they felt like the Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts would bring up the rear and have more rebuilding seasons, and then that the Texans and the Jags would be fighting it out at the top. And here is what they had to say about the Houston Texans. coming from Bleacher Report. Texans projection. The Texans' offensive line will cost them some games, but their defense should balance out some of those losses with stifling performances and victories. Houston struggles early while first-time play caller Nick Caley finds the right buttons to push, but the club still finishes above 500 projection, win-loss record 9-8. 9-8. Similar to your win-loss record, Clint.
Yep.
Jags projection. The Jacksonville Jaguars will be the NFL's biggest surprise team in 2025. Got Tyler's answer.
Duval.
Liam, speaking of that fella, Liam Cohen leads Jacksonville to an AFC South title with a resurgent offense 2025 projection, 10-7, and they take back the AFC South from the Texans. Your thoughts? Is this something that is far-fetched, or is this something that you could hear? You could listen to the argument on this.
Oh, I can listen to the argument. I mean, I agree with. In fact, I would double down on the Texans' take of 9 wins. Although I will agree, I could get to 10 or 11, or I could get to 7 or 8. To be honest with you, this offense has got some prove it to do on several fronts that could be crippling.
Both of them do, but you're talking about the Texans.
Yeah, well that's where I will disagree. I agree with the Texans win total. I agree with the Texans issues. I think it's going to be really tough to overcome those issues and still get 9 or 10. To be honest with you, but I have the Colts being the team that is neck and neck with the Texans in this division, not the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Colts they had at 4-13 is where they see the Colts at 4-13, well, with Jacksonville going up, making the move to 10-7 in the division.
Good luck with that 4-13. Shane Steichen's ass be on the streets.
Hell yeah! So
you need OC. You need OC, D'Amico.
There you go. And another one, third and 4 years. Yeah, they may. If that is the case, that may happen. Now, I think it's a fair one to me, because you know I think the Texans, I've got them at 10-7, and I have them winning the division, but I in no means think that this thing isn't going to be tight with someone. Right, I think when you combine the difference in what the other teams in the division, and when you say the other teams, I just don't think Tennessee's ready to even make a surprise jump. They have them at 4-13. But to me, Indy and Jacksonville, their schedules are significantly different than what the Texans are and what they had to deal with in that schedule, just like it was last year, and the Texans still were able to move through winning the division by 2 games. But I am not one that would be surprised at all that this thing kind of comes down to late December. I would not be surprised at that. And for me, when I look at Jacksonville, I wouldn't be surprised if they were a team that would fit that. When you look at bringing in already Brian Thomas, who had a hell of a rookie year, to go along with Hunter, however they use him, I would assume he's going to get some offensive run as well. And Liam Cohen, like, as weird as he is, as much as we like to play the Duval thing, he's had some great success with quarterbacks. He's had some great success with offenses, including Baker Mayfield and what Tampa did. I am not at all picking this, and I would not put my money down on it, but I think it's a fair conversation to see, hey, maybe the Texans kind of stay maybe in the same range that they have been the last couple of years, and that maybe one, either the Colts or the Jags, take a step forward. I still think there are too many questions for the Texans to just automatically, even in this division, to automatically say they're gonna run through this easy.
Yeah, look, I think offensively the Texans got their work cut out, man. I mean, again, you don't have an identity. We'll see if they can create one. We have no idea what Nick Caley's going to do. You know, you look across the board, and okay, now C.J. Stroud and C.J. Stroud's going to get more control and at the line of scrimmage and more control over what's going on. Jerod Johnson is going to get a bigger voice. We've never seen it, y'all. He's never done it, y'all. So, I mean, there's a lot of we've never done it that are going to have to just be absolutely lights out to go get double-figure wins in the season. Right? I mean, I understand the Texans have done it in the past 2 years, and it was great. Whatever, man. Like, you've got to be really, really, really good offensively, really across the board, but you got to be really good offensively in the 2025 NFL that we know today. You got to be really good offensively to go get 10, 11 wins in a year and to do that consistently. And there's a lot of guys that are getting control for the first time or more control for the first time that we have no idea what the hell that's going to look like. So they got their work cut out for them, man. I don't think it's going to be as easy a cakewalk, especially early on. Because if you want to talk about early on, these guys need time. Well, early on, you got a solid schedule.
Yeah, to me, I think they've got the best coach.
Who?
The Texans in the division.
Yeah, agree.
I think they've got the best quarterback in the division.
Agreed.
And I think they know culture-wise where they're going better than the other teams in the division. So for me, that's the reason why I think that they get the advantage. But it doesn't mean to me it's not going to be tight, right?
The arrow's because, pointed up.
As you said, man, we watched it. It took them about three, maybe four games when Bobby Slowick first started to get a handle on what they wanted to do, right? Like Bobby Slowick, then they were still trying to run the football like they were, you know, mimicking the 49ers. And then finally in the second half of the Colts game, week three, they were like, here, all right, let's turn this puppy on over to CJ. Let's be a more passing team. And as you said, there's probably going to be some feel that Nick Caley, CJ Stroud, getting control of things. There's probably going to be some feel period with that offense and what they're going to do that may slow,
yeah.
I mean, slow the progression.
And we'll talk about Nick Caley till we're blue in the face. But D'Amico Ryans, every time we talk about Nick, before we get off the air, D'Amico Ryans has to make sure that the offensive football 101 things are nipped in the bud. The quarterback having control to protect himself. The quarterback knowing where the hell the pressure's coming from and where it's not. The ability to play guys that are the better players, and Shaq Mason not playing over Juice Scruggs because he's healthy in a damn playoff game, right? That D'Amico Ryans has to right the ship with those football 101 things, and that's going to go a long way.
Yeah. Yep. And I think they do have a clear advantage in that. And usually I look it up, man, you got advantage in coach, quarterback, and culture. That should give you a big leg up. All right, coming up as we continue, Tyler gonna win a little money. He had was in the green last week, 64%. Try to get off to a good start this week. We'll win you some money coming up here in just a bit. And do the Astros need to address what appears to be an ongoing issue that eventually they're going to need to address, but do they need to address it soon? We'll discuss that.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is drive time, isn't it, back in Houston.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Still don't know how I feel about, although I know I need to let this stuff go, although I haven't had one in a long time. Still don't know how I feel about Wendy's making these changes to these Frosties.
What'd they do now?
Oh, they look like blizzards. They've mixed in.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They've mixed. They look like sundaes. They've mixed in. They've changed the whole game.
But the classic is so great.
I mean, I feel like they couldn't just hang in and stand around anymore. But I don't know how I feel about it. It's just the Wendy's, the Frosty, that was just unique. Hold tight. Now they got one with chocolate.
Yeah, I'm with you.
chocolate icing and strawberry ice. Looked like there was some cookies in it or something.
Don't do too much, Wendy.
Yeah. Just hang with them frosting, man. Huh? Solid, man. Maybe I remember they went vanilla. That was cool. Now they really shot past it. Coming up behind us, as we do each and every single night, hand this thing off to Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. Texans All Access coming up behind us. Tougher Texans opponents this season. They'll discuss, is it the Cardinals? Is it the Raiders? I don't know. We'll see. Geno Smith, Kyler Murray, should be an interesting conversation. Both of those late games in the season. And then behind that, Area 45 live and local. Talk to our guys back there. Sean Bajani's back there. His guy is back there with our guy Chris. He'll be there as well. And Mr. Santiago. So those guys have it right after us. The best late night sports show in Houston. So stay tuned for that. They'll pick it up after the fellas get done at 6 o'clock with Texans All Access. Also, a little bit later on here in a bit, we will get T-Mill's best bets. We'll get the best bets. We'll get his best bets. See if we can start this thing off 64% to end last week. We'll see if we can go even bigger from the text line. Show you know Wendy's service lettuce wraps, burgers. Any burger they have, you can get a lettuce wrap option. Yeah, seen that.
We're going to have a few of these moving forward. Maybe not Wendy's.
Saw them. They made the shift on the Frosties. They really spun that around. They're looking like Sundays now. Thought the old regular old Frosty was just going to hold tight. But
didn't make it, huh?
No, they sat in there and had one of them focus groups that I used to be a part of. One of the focus groups and said, let's do it. Man, I'm telling you, man, they used to pay me $150. They go in. I remember Taco Bell. I got called to do a focus group. They were trying to do a new chicken dishes. New chicken dishes at Taco Bell. Paid me $150 to go in there and try it out. I thought it was a lot.
You thought you were going to hit the lotto. Huh?
Oh, man, I didn't think for sure. I was like, I'm about to get in here. Maybe I'll just eat me some tacos. Got in there, and they handed me an envelope on the way out. Said, doggone it. Then I started doing that big time. Did one for Pizza Hut.
You had your client list, huh?
I did. They were calling me up, baby. I said, yeah, man, I'd knock it out.
What'd you help Taco Bell decide?
They were doing like a. This was way before they'd done like the cantina chicken or whatever. Right, some chicken. They were doing like a line of chicken stuff. So we were doing a lot of chicken quesadillas, chicken tacos.
What kind of feedback did you give them?
It's pretty good. I don't like this green sauce. I remember I didn't like this green sauce. This was 7-8 years ago. I didn't like this green sauce, but. I was sitting there saying, man.
He's telling the story like it was when he was 19. It's all 7-8 years ago.
Oh, I'm just saying it was before I was here, man.
Your path?
I've known you for five now.
I'm telling you, 7-8 years ago, baby. Roll it in there. Yeah, man, get in there. Go in there about 11 o'clock. Get out there at 12.
Did you tell Courtney where you were going?
Yeah. I said, I'm trying to get her to get in there with it.
Get an extra 150?
That's 300 right there, baby. Where are we going tonight?
That'd be a good night out, wouldn't it?
What are you talking about, man? Getting there is easy, boy. Shout out to Miss Anderson. Used to hook me up. I remember the one I didn't like. I had to do one for Hallmark cards. They had like a fake Hallmark store set up, and we had to go. I had to walk through the halls and pick like the aisles and pick like the three best birthday cards for your mother. I'm like that. I would lie on them bad boys on there to make sure I met the qualifications.
They need to do more groups because these cards, that may be the worst thing ever.
That was good. I mean, it was $1, you know, $150. Just handing it to me afterwards. But, boy, I was like, silly right here, man. Come on, man. Give me the food. I remember I did a Budweiser one, and they made us stay. We had to stay an additional...
Like a lock-in?
We had to stay an additional hour or two
after
we did the tasting.
Yeah, let that alcohol...
And I remember what it was. It was all of the... it was the lemon, like the new... Now they do it now, lime Bud Light.
Yeah.
They had an orange Bud Light. Have you had that one? The orange Bud Light. They had there were all these flavors. They would make those. They had them all. Grape, cherry.
Which was your favorite?
The orange and the lime. And they're the ones that made it.
They both made it.
They made it.
Why didn't they just have like a breathalyzer and like, hey, before you leave, need to make sure you're under
0.08. I don't know. They probably wouldn't live in it. No, I'll just sit here 2 hours.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, even if you sit alcohol, it's going to take the alcohol a while to get into your system.
And now we did get paid a little bit more for that one. I was a little annoyed because, I mean, it wasn't nothing to get you drunk. I mean, it was literally like little bitty, like not even full cups.
Like a taste, yeah.
Yeah, like
a little mouthwash.
And we're just, yeah.
Well, thank you. I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there that need to thank you for that Bud Light Lime. I know a lot of I got an aunt. Boy, she swears by old Bud Light Lime.
This could go right here.
Thank you for your service, Ron.
This orange, not bad.
Appreciate you bringing that to life, man.
Yeah, that Pizza Hut one, they were talking about this new family size box that included like breadsticks and like it was a huge. I think they probably do sell it. It was a huge ass box. Like, what do you think about the box? Like, that was the part that was pissing me off. Like, man, why we got... Like, I had
depends
to talk
on
about,
what you put in it.
Well, I had to talk about the box, the
presentation,
the design art. And I'm like, man, when are we going to eat these damn cheese breadsticks?
When are you going to roll the buffet out here?
They're sitting right there. We couldn't eat them yet. We got to look at them.
You got to look at them.
Yeah, I'm ready to keep trying to attack these wings here. Yeah, the box looks great. Hell with it.
They're over here teasing you, huh?
Teasing me now. It was a good time, though. All right, real quick. With the Hayden Wesneski news, he's going to be out for the year. What did I call him?
I love when you call him Wesneski.
That was an offensive lineman. Hayden Wesneski. Wesneski, I think, played for Penn State and the Raiders.
I thought you get a little sideways with it.
For Penn State and the Raiders.
You've been doing one of them testings now?
I tried to, yeah. That's why they made me stay 2 hours. But Wesneski... He is out for the year. Tommy John surgery. Does this make you look with guys like Colton Gordon, Ryan Gusto getting starts? They just called up some lefty. Do you think this is causing you to think that Dana Brown may need to go out and get aggressive and make a move soon? Not just wait until the deadline here in July, but soon.
I don't know if aggressive is the way I'd put it. I think it's probably likely that eventually we'll have to. But I mean, no Wesneski. Don't know what the hell is going on with Spencer Arrigetti. Even though I mean, pretty confident when he does come back and he gets ramped up, he's at least going to be a top five. The problem is you just don't have zero insurance for if Lance McCullers doesn't pan out. You have zero insurance if there's any more injuries. And I'm talking about when Spencer Arrigetti's back, by the way. If there is an injury, you have zero insurance to get through 162. I think once you get to the playoffs, I think you'll more than likely, knock on wood barring injury, you will be in a pretty good spot with Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, Spencer Arrigetti, Ronel Blanco, and then the wild card in the bunch being Lance McCullers. I mean, I think you can win playoff games with that. Yeah. Now we'll see if we can get that deep into this thing. And problem is, you got to chew a lot of innings up between now and then.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just look at it last year. What they had, some issues, but you know, Spencer Arrigetti was starting to come on, and they still feel like, man, we got to go get Kikuchi. Like yeah. They ended up feeling like we had to go. We knew Verlander was coming back. They felt like. Well, we got to go make a move. And
that's a good point.
I just wonder. Like, you just got Framber and you know Hunter, right? And I even think you probably have some kind of a feeling of confidence of what Blanco's going to do. But the rest, you know, Spencer Arrigetti, we'll see what he does in year two. But the rest of the guys are kind of up in the air. And then you don't really have a lot behind them because I don't think you can depend on Luis Garcia and JP France, you know, that they are going to be options for you. Damn sure Christian Javier just started throwing the ball. So I don't know about that. So they may that may be something that they, I'm certain, are looking at right now. Obviously, outside of the damn Rockies and the White Sox, nobody's probably just out of it yet. So it may take a little time, but we'll learn over the next couple of weeks if they need to be aggressive to add a major player. All right, Tyler, let's get a little money here. Let's see if we can win some money here. Let's get your best bets for the day.
Let's do it. I got five baseball bets for you, just like I did on Friday, and we ended the week successfully. So let's start this week the right way. Got five bets for you, three of which do pertain to the Astros game tonight. Here we go. Royals at the Giants. I am on under four runs scored in the first five innings of that game.
Oh, love that. Chris Bubich going for the Royals, and then the Giants pitch well, too.
Yes, sir. Could be a pitcher's duel tonight. Then I got the Red Sox, plus a run and a half as they host the Mets. And now your three Astros bets. I'm on the Astros at the Rays. No score for either team in the first inning. Mm. Even odds. I like that bet. Astros at Rays under nine runs in this game tonight.
I like that.
And then the lone player prop for you, Jeremy Pena, the panty dropper, over 1.5 total bases for Jeremy Pena and the Astros this evening. Those are your five best bets. You love the first one. Any others?
You going to jump on that last one, Winnie Clinton? That seems like your range right now. That Jeremy Pena, two-hit Jeremy Pena, day off yesterday. I know he came in and pitched hit day off yesterday. That might be it. I like that one, too, the way he's going. It's hard. I like the Astros raise under nine as well. So let's go then.
Let's get it.
I think I'm going to sit tight tonight, boys.
Smart.
I got room for you.
Let's sit tight.
Man. I'm really believing you.
Astros under with Colton on the mound, on the bump.
Oh, you're right. He said, but the first, nine.
Scared money don't win money.
Yeah. Colton did shake himself out of a couple of jams yesterday. Or last game out. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I'm Ron. The show, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. And I know it's gonna be. Yeah.
I'm gonna try to get 240. If I can get sub 240, man, I'll be real happy with myself, Ron. I ain't been in them 230s in a minute.
You can do that. You can do that. All right, I lied. I just didn't want to wear a jacket. It was hot.
Podcasting isn't just evolving; it's having a full blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, we got to run a business and we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because I think most of us, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.